Oh, that's a great song, isn't it? Maybe we'll just have them come back out and sing it again 5 or 6 more times. It's good to see. Right. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Remind me, I'll give you $5 after this. Well, it's good to see all of you this evening. Well, last week we started the series, How to Trust God. All right? And what I'm going to share with you tonight, this is just my opinion, but you'll probably think this by the time we're done. I think will probably be the most critical message that you ever hear in your life. Now, I don't mean to be the best, necessarily. I don't mean, you know, you'll never hear another one like it. I just mean that what you hear tonight literally will make or break your life. Without any second guessing, without any reservation, I can say that to you. Without taking what you hear tonight and working it into your living, then Christianity and Christ will be meaningless in your life. Last week, I tried to lay a foundation for you as to why you ought to trust God. So I'm going to read the passage that John read to you last week during the scripture reading out of Jeremiah chapter 17. It says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wasteland. He won't see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in a parched place of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed, fortunate, and happy is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. There's a contrast here that God gives us between two types of people. People who trust God, really there is no neutrality. That's something you'll understand by the time we get finished with this evening in this message entitled, Trusting is More Than Words. Trusting God is more than talk. It's a lot more than talk. And there's a lot of people who talk about trusting God. There's a lot of people who say they trust God, they know God. But you'll understand tonight when I share with you what it means to trust God, that by and large, most people don't have an active faith going on in their life. And you'll understand how to change that. So there are basically two kinds of people. Those who trust in themselves and those who trust in God. Now, there is certainly a tendency in our society to trust in oneself versus trusting in other people. Number one, we've all been let down, and I shared that with you last week. Most of us, in one way or another, have been let down by a significant person in our life. In fact, you see this line in movies, you hear this said in sociology classes, you hear this from philosophers. Don't trust anyone. Only trust yourself. I just saw a movie not too long ago. In fact, it's just out, called Iron Will, about this kid with his dog sled, and he goes from Winnipeg, Canada, down to Como Park in St. Paul. 500 miles. His father says, don't trust anybody but you and your dogs. And I thought, isn't that cool, you know, don't trust anybody but you and your dogs. And of course, you know, it all works out just like his father told him, because the movies always work. It doesn't work that way in life, but I understand why people think that. Because people let you down. Parents let you down. Your spouse lets you down. A significant other individual in your life will let you down. And so we go into this isolationism mentality. Rather than be hurt, rather than suffer the pain of having someone let us down, we decide to trust ourselves. And that's what God addresses here. He says, if you trust yourself, you're cursed. You're in a very bad situation. If your confidence is in you, your life is going to be a sorry state of affairs. Now, the outward part of your life, as I showed with you last week, may look wonderful. Things may look marvelous on the outside. You may have money. You may have your health. You may be a very attractive individual. But on the inside, you'll be like a bush in a wasteland. You'll be alone. You won't see real prosperity. The prosperity of the soul, of the real being, when it comes. You'll be alone in the desert. In fact, to trust in yourself, quite frankly, is to be alone. There is no better, greater definition than loneliness than to simply living a life all your life that only trusts you, that leaves God out of the picture. But just the opposite, God promises for those whose trust is in Him, whose confidence is in God. He says they don't fear when the drought comes. They don't worry when it gets hot, when circumstances are difficult, because their life is always vibrant and their leaves are always green. They bear fruit. They have an abundant life. Even if, as I said last week, the outside of their life looks difficult. Maybe they don't have everything else in life that everybody else does. Maybe they know poverty. Maybe they don't drive the finest car. Maybe they aren't the best looking individual. But they know what real life's about. They know what a soul life with God is all about. And that's what real life is. That's where real happiness is anyway. Second reason God tells us to trust Him, He gives you a little insight, and I'm going to read this to you. It says this, "The heart is deceitful above all else, and beyond cure, who can know it?" I've had people tell me, and I shared this with you last week, they're making a major decision in their life. Often it has to do with love. I hear this often, when someone's in love. Say, well, why are you marrying this person? How do you know it's the right thing? I don't know, my heart just tells me it's the right thing to do. Your heart tells you it's the right thing to do. In my heart, I just feel this is the right thing for me to do. So I'll begin asking them some questions about this individual they're thinking of marrying. And lo and behold, I won't go into any details because I don't want anyone to take this personal, but boy, you'd be amazed at the things that are in another person's life that somebody tells me their heart told them they ought to marry. And they'll go down this list down. And I said, do you realize that you're making a totally illogical decision? In fact, did you realize that God would tell you to do otherwise? Did you bother to ask Him? Oh yeah, I prayed about it every day and I'm just sure He told me, convinced me. Did you ever read the Bible? That's where God speaks to you. He speaks from the Bible. Well, no. Well, here, let me show you a few verses. So we start looking at verse after verse about character, about an individual's character, about where their heart is, there their treasure will be. And I've asked individuals, how could you marry someone when you have a heart for God, this person does not? Without God in your marriage, you're not going to make it anyway. Well, you know, I just know God wants me to win him. Wrong. He doesn't want you to win him. God never wants you to compromise righteousness for the sake of winning a future spouse. But my heart tells me different. Well, and I take them to this verse. The heart will trick you every time. I'll tell you a little something, a little secret about me. I trust God much more than I trust Mark. In fact, I don't trust Mark. I don't trust my motives. I don't trust sometimes the thoughts that go through my mind. I trust God. In fact, I know for a fact, after 18 years of following Christ, that He loves me more than I love me. You know, everybody talks in our society about, you've got to love you, you've got to take care of number one. I want to tell you a little secret. God has taken far better care of Mark than Mark ever dreamed of taking care of Mark. Number one, not even Mark would die for Mark. You ever think about that? You never thought about that? I wouldn't even be willing to die for myself. I don't have the power to work things for good in my life. Without God, I'm stuck with my mistakes. I'm stuck with the garbage in my life. And I have no hope, nowhere to turn. So you see, without God, there's no hope. Now, I want to ask you to think about something for a minute. A few days ago, you know, when it was bitter cold. I mean, that's cold, isn't it? When it's like 60 below with the wind. So I got to tell you, though, about 10 years ago, I was in something colder than that. It was 2 in the morning. I was driving the turnpike of Oklahoma across to Oklahoma with my family, and I got caught in the worst blizzard I've ever been in. In fact, I left from Ames, Iowa, and all the way to Texas, I drove in snow and ice. That's the truth. It never stopped. By the time I got to Oklahoma at 2 in the morning, it was 90 below with the wind chill. And you can barely see. So I'm telling you, this stuff, it's cold. Now I want you to imagine to yourself for a moment that you decide, you know, I'm going to go out there with my bathing suit on. The sun's shining bright. It looks so inviting. Have you ever looked out your window when it's very cold and the sun is shining very bright? It looks very enticing. So you just decide. Now, you got to humor me for a minute. I know no one in this room is that stupid, okay? I'm giving you a lot of credit. I want you to know that. I know no one in this room is that stupid. But I just want you to imagine for a moment that something's overcome you. Call it cabin fever, call it whatever you want. You just want to put your swimsuit on. So you go out. You're just rolling in the snow. And your family's inside. Get inside. Oh, it's so wonderful, wonderful. Pretty soon, you know, your body kind of goes numb and you're starting to feel really wonderful. And pretty soon you're frostbit. Pretty soon, you know, a finger falls off. You look down at your hand, you go, gee, maybe I better go inside. You know? Of course, now all that's real dumb, isn't it? Let me share this with you. If we think that's so dumb, why do millions, literally billions of people, go out into the blizzard of life naked without trusting God? You must understand this. There are laws of nature and there are laws of God. Okay? Nature is a beautiful thing. I was telling this to my children this morning. I said, winter doesn't have emotions. Now, God does, but winter does not. It's just, it's God made it. It's beautiful. But you better respect it. By golly, I'll tell you that every Minnesotan in this state respects the cold more, most of them, more than they respect God. Because they know what the cold can do to you. Now, the cold, like I said, it doesn't play favorites. It's just there. If you go out in it and you get caught in it, and you're not prepared, you're in trouble. Now let me share something with you about God. This is what this whole passage in Jeremiah is about. God does not hate you. God loves you. God is not indifferent towards you. God is not like a season, but you better make sure you understand He demands as much respect as the ocean, as a volcano, as a blizzard. Because there are certain natural laws that take place. If you go through life without trusting God, the natural order of things will be you'll ruin your life. And God won't even lift a finger to ruin it. It's not like God goes, all right, you're not trusting me, great, I'm going to squish you like a bug. It's not that at all. God doesn't even have to do that. If He did that, it'd only be worse. It'll be bad enough without Him doing that. It's a natural law that you cannot defy. Now, our society is trying to do that. We have taken God, in God we trust, which our founding fathers stamped on our pocket. We carry it in our pockets all the time. It's on your money. It's on your money. They never intended that man would trust in money. They intended that you would trust in divine providence of a sovereign God, which most of them believed in. And even Thomas Jefferson believed in God. In fact, his Bible was marked up all over the place. He was not a Christian. He was a deist, but he believed in a God, in a providential God. So did Benjamin Franklin. You've just been lied to, that's all. And so they stamped it on our coin. In God we trust. But we don't trust in God in this country. We trust in ourselves. We trust in our technology. We trust in our scientific advancements. We trust in what our heart tells us. We trust in what our mind can comprehend and grasp. But by and large, we don't trust God. So I want to talk to you tonight about what trusting God means and how you'll know. I've got a bunch of things written down here. I just took the time, wanted to write these down. How you will know whether or not you're trusting God. I want you to understand that trusting God is not something intangible. It is very tangible. When you leave tonight, you'll be able to, hopefully in a positive way, I don't want you to do this in a negative way, but I want you to do this in a positive way, you'll be able to evaluate where you're at when it comes to trusting God. Trusting God is the single greatest solution to every problem you could possibly face. Trusting God is the most important issue in your life. Not only knowing about it, but doing it. It's the most important thing in your life. Learning to trust God will totally change your life. Psalm 37, let me read this to you, all right? Psalm 37 says this, and I'm not going to read all these, but I want you to kind of know what I'm doing here. I'm going to give you references. They'll be on the tape, and you can get the tape, and you can go over these yourself and read them for yourself. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desire of your heart." So, I wrote down, trusting God means, when times get tough and people get mean, I continue to do good and kind things towards others. I don't get tough and mean like my circumstances. If you're an individual who says with your mouth, "I trust God," but you're not an individual who treats mean people kindly, you don't trust God. It's just that simple. It's very easy to know whether or not you are trusting God. Every one of us in our lives, we're going to come into situations where people treat us maliciously, where they treat us in a way we do not deserve. You will find out in those situations, and they will be many and they will be varied, how deep your trust in God really is. The Bible tells us in Peter, "Let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." That doesn't mean you scream about your rights. That doesn't mean you take this other person to court. This affects your marriage. We find out how much you really trust God. Proverbs 11:28. Trusting God means I don't worry about money. I'm not consumed with things. Proverbs 11:28 tells us not to go after riches, not to set our heart on money, not to go after it. Set our heart on God. So if you translate that into your everyday life, what it means is you have money in its proper perspective. And your faith is more in God than it is in money. That you feel as secure when you're down to your last $5 with God, it's when you have an extra $700. Your trust affects your confidence. Proverbs 16:20. Trusting God means I listen carefully to instruction from God and I heed His advice. That's what it says. It says he who trusts in God heeds instruction. Trusting God means something. You see, it's not nebulous. It means something very practical, very tangible that you can do. So if you trust God, you listen. You listen. What could be more respectful than to trust God to the extent that you listen to what He says and you try to put it into practice? For example, 2 weeks or a week ago when we canceled church on Sunday, Mark Bowen got up real early and he drove around the city. Drove around. And he calls me on the phone. He goes, "Mark," he says, "I'll tell you, I've been out in it. It's really bad. It's really bad. It's deep. It's bad." And he says, "You know, it's your call. You're sharing today." I said, "Hey, I want people to be safe. It's very, very cold. It's very deep. It's very slippery." So when you call the office, or when someone like that calls you and tells you that, I have a choice to listen to them or to poo-poo them, to blow them off. Say, "Ah, you know what you're talking about. I've been out, it's okay." I can listen or I cannot listen. I can heed someone's advice who knows what they're talking about, or I can just do my own thing. Now with God, the difference between God and man is He always knows what He's talking about. God never lies. God never needs anybody's advice. God always makes the right judgment call, the right decision every single time. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that every word of God has been tried, tested, and proven. Add to His words, Proverbs says in Proverbs 30, and He will prove you a liar. He will prove you a liar. And He will. Men have been messing with this for years. Thousands of years. They've tried to destroy the Bible. They've tried to wipe it from existence. They've tried to reconcoct what it's saying. And it has always meant what is always said. And those who have been humble enough to believe it have experienced an amazing life. Proverbs 29:25. Trusting God means I am not affected by the opinions of others. Here's what Proverbs 29:25 says. It says, the fear of man is a snare, but those who trust in the Lord are safe. Translated, it means if I trust God, if my hope is really in God, I'm not affected by the opinions of other people. I'm not afraid what they think, what they do or don't think of me doesn't matter. What matters most to me is what God thinks. Think about that principle alone. Have you ever wondered, you know, how do pastors just walk up and share with all these people? How do they do this? Do they do it because they think they're so good? Where does a person's confidence come from? When I first came to know the Lord, I was about 19, when I really started following Christ. And during my high school years, I sang. And that's all I did. I sang. I got an A in music. I didn't care about nothing else. I just sang. Sang in phys ed, and I skipped most of my other classes. And everybody around me always say, oh, Mark, you're great. Oh, you can sing. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, it's cool. And you know, it's a great ego trip. To be honest, that was my ego trip. That was exciting. Then I came to know the Lord. Everybody's telling me, oh, now you can sing for God. All these people have been praying to me for years. Now you can sing for God. The problem was, is that I had no idea how to sing for God. The only thing I knew how to do was sing for Mark. You know the only thing that used to give me confidence to walk out in front of hundreds of people in the dramas I were in or to sing at the events I went to was to tell myself I was so good. That's the honest to God truth. I said, I'm not lying to you. I'm bearing my soul. I was very arrogant. I'm so good. Hey, these people are going to love hearing me. That's how I overcame. You always find your edge. Everybody's got an edge, you see. Coaches will put something that another team said, and it's bad, and he puts it in a locker room, and every day they got an edge. So my edge was, I'm the best they've ever heard. They're going to love hearing me. Then I came to know the Lord, started following Him, and I knew pride just wouldn't cut it, and I didn't know how to trust God. So I put my guitar away for a year, and I never sang. I told the Lord, Lord, I'll never sing till I learn how to do it from the right motivation, till I learn what it means to do it trusting You. As I grew in my faith, I began to realize that trusting God meant it doesn't matter what you think. If I'm going to be God's servant, then I have to have the guts to get up here and say what God says. And if you kill me, you kill me. If you fire me, you fire me. If you don't like me, you don't like me. I got to tell you, that's one of the most freeing things in the world. To be able to walk down the street, to be able to walk in a mall without being self-conscious, knowing that I got my smile, I am who I am, God is with me. You ever think, ladies, what that can mean to your life, your self-esteem? You men, what that can mean to your self-esteem? The fear of man, worrying about what other people think of you, whether they evaluate you as successful or not, will destroy your life. It will eat you away. Ladies, you wonder, I wonder if some guy will think I'm cute enough, if I'm good enough. Look, you just trust God. Don't worry about it. When the man that God has for you, and He has one, comes along, he'll think you're just fine. Don't jeopardize it all by not trusting God. Don't jeopardize it all by deciding, I don't know, I got to be concerned about this. It'll change your life. Psalm 52:8-9. Trusting God means my spirit flourishes even though my flesh may decay. David says there, I will trust the Lord, and my soul will be encouraged and lifted up. Basically, is what he's getting across. My soul will flourish. It doesn't matter what's going on. I choose joy. Because I know that God is working in my life, and no matter what you do to me, no matter what comes my way, you are not bigger than my God. You see? And God doesn't change towards me. Life may change. Circumstances may change. People may change. God is the one sure thing in my life all the time. He's more sure and more faithful than my wife. He's more sure and more dependable than my kids. He's more sure and more dependable than my own heart. And so you see, you go through life, then no matter what life throws at you, you have strength to face it. Now, and I'm going to get to this in a moment. You may not begin facing life like this. I'm not saying that there won't be a struggle to trust. What I'm saying to you, though, is there's an answer. What I'm saying is that you can get to a point where you're not living under the pile, but you're on top of it. In each of these different aspects of your life, it's going to be a growing process. But boy, I'll tell you what a joy it is. You can be laying at home. You can be broke. You can be in poverty. You can be sick. Your car can be broken down. Life can be throwing you a bunch of curves. And your heart can be filled with joy and happiness. Because you know, God is reliable. And He won't let you languish too long. Psalm 56, 3, 4, and 11. Trusting God means I let go of fear. Trust and fear cannot dwell together. I choose to trust rather than to live my life in fear. I got to tell you, I deal with people every day whose lives are ravaged by fear. Most of us in this room, there are things or a thing or many things that we're afraid of. And that fear comes back and haunts us on a regular basis. We're afraid. We're afraid. And because of that fear, it keeps us from doing certain things maybe we'd really like to do. It keeps us from enjoying life as fully as God intended. It keeps us from experiencing joy and peace like God meant because we're afraid. The psalmist says, I will not be afraid. I will. It's your will. That's what I'm getting at here. Trusting God is choosing with your will to go after these things. That's what it means. If you trust God, then you choose courage. And when you choose courage, you will find that God is there with more courage than you ever dreamed. When you trust God, you will find that He won't let you down. Every time I think about trusting God, there's a picture I have in my mind. And it's the picture from the last Raiders of the Last Crusader, the Last Crusade, you know, when they're going after the Holy Grail, and Indiana Jones is looking down this huge chasm, and something like the righteous, this thing comes to his mind, the righteous will walk by faith, or something like that. And he looks out and he's sweating and he knows that, you know, he's got to do something really quick because his father's dying. And so it dawns on him that he's got to step out on something he can't see. Do you remember that part? And so he does it, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Of course, we've seen the movie, but when you see the movie, you wonder what the world's going to happen. And all of a sudden, he steps out. And you know what? You find God's reliable. Now that's a movie, but I'm telling you something, in real life, in 19 years of following Christ, He's very reliable. The Bible tells us in Peter that those who trust in the Lord will never be disappointed. Now you say to me, and I've had Christians say to me, Mark, that's a lie. You're a liar, Mark, because I'm a Christian and I trusted God and I got disappointed. No, you didn't. God will never disappoint you. You just thought you were trusting God and you weren't, and you got disappointed. And we're never often willing to admit that. You see, God will sift through your motives and He'll sift through your life. And you'll find out whether or not your faith is in Him or your faith is really in what you planned out for Him that He should do for you. And when He doesn't do what you planned out He should do for you, and you get disappointed, you blame God. That's very wrong. See? Because when God's plan to begin with, God will never let you down. You trust, you wait. That four-letter word's the toughest one you'll ever encounter. Wait. 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 Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. That'll be very challenging. Most people choose not to wait. And then they get extraordinarily disappointed. Psalm 62:10. Trusting God means that He's my closest confidant. I regularly pour out my heart to Him. I confide in Him. I am confident that He hears me and that He cares. You know what trusting God means? It means you have a prayer life, an active prayer life. It means you know how to pray. It means you pray. If you're not a person that is acquainted with prayer, that knows how to do it, that is comfortable with it, you need to learn to trust God. You need to learn to trust God. That's all there is to it. And the best way to do that is just start. Every day, or I try every day, don't always do it, I'm trying to gather my children around the table about 9:30 in the morning. And we pray. My children, I want them to be accustomed with going into the presence of God. I want them to learn. He's talked about whatever's on your heart. But if you're going to learn to trust God, if you're trusting God, you've got to know that He's there to listen at any time, day or night, pour out your heart. That particular verse is, trust in Him at all times. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart to Him at any time. Pour it out. Let it gush out to God. You know what we tend to do? I'll tell you how you can tell how much we trust people. We tend to call up our best friend. That's what we tend to do. We tend to dump on the person closest to us. You need to learn to go dump on God first. Then go talk to your friend. But I would make a personal pact with yourself. Don't dump on a friend. Don't go confide in a friend until you've absolutely confided it in God. And you'll be the perspective you probably get. It's not wrong to go talk to a friend. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying make it your habit to do it with God first. Psalm 112:7, trusting God means you stay positive in the face of the future. You're not filled with anxiety, worry, or emotion. It says you do not live in dread of bad news. For you have settled in your mind that God will take care of you. You're trusting God. A person who trusts God is positive. They look forward to the future with hope. They always have hope. And I'll show you a verse that says that. They always have hope. They're always hopeful. They're a positive person to be around. Even when things look bleak, even when things look hopeless, they're like Abraham, who in hope against hope believed that he would become the father of many nations, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God would do. See, it's all about God. It's not about you. It's that you have confidence that God will simply intervene in your life and save you if He has to at the very last moment. Even if you have to wait to the very last moment, God will save you. And that's your settled hope. That's your confidence. But always the temptation is to take it into your own hands. Find God, you didn't come through. I need it now and I can't wait any longer. And you do it your way. And I could tell you story after story of the devastation in people's lives who have done it their own way. Psalm 78:7. It means I obey what God says. I'm not just a talker, but I'm a walker. I want to share with you on this for a moment. I know so many Christians who talk a great talk. They know nothing about obedience. You know what it means to trust God? I'll tell you a verse that as a young man, God used this verse in my life. It was like a giant just weight on my life. I memorized it, put it on my heart, because I knew the toughest thing for Mark Darling is to submit. I hate the word. At 19, I hated the word. So I came to this verse in Job. It says, yield now and be at peace with Him, and thereby good will come to you. I am not a yielding personality. Not in sports. I am highly competitive. I don't believe in yielding. I don't like authority in my life. But I have found the last 18 years, the greatest thing in my life has been to let God be God in my life and yield and submit. You know what it means to submit? It means you obey. It means you force yourself to do what's right even when you don't feel like it, because you don't trust your feelings, you trust in what's right. I've taught my children a little verse in Proverbs. It says, I would have you learn this great fact, that the wisest life of all is the life of doing right. Well, guess what? Saying no doesn't always feel good, does it? In fact, very seldom does it feel good. Our feelings always lead us, generally speaking, down a path of destruction. And we have to decide, I will obey God. That's how you know a person who trusts God. Psalm 118, 8 and 9. Trusting God means I'm not looking to other people to solve my problems. I don't put an unhealthy amount of confidence in people. who will let me down. I have put a healthy amount of confidence in God, and I look to Him for answers. Now let me just share this with you. This doesn't mean we don't trust in people, and it doesn't mean we don't get advice from people. But I got to tell you, far too many people I encounter today are waiting for man to solve their problems, waiting for someone to come along and solve the problems in their life. You need to get your hope in God. This psalm says it's vain to put your hope in princes. It's vain to put your hope in mortal man. It's vain. It's futile. But those who hope in the Lord will surely be saved. You can Psalm 33, 16, 22, and Psalm 146, 3. I just said that for the sake of the tape. You can look it up later. Psalm 125, 1. Trusting God means that though life is uncertain and times and circumstances change, the world around me may be shaken and is shaken, but I am not, and I stand firm and strong. You know what that verse says in the Living Bible? It says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. Trusting God gives you stability, emotional, mental, and physical and spiritual stability and well-being in your life. And I'm dealing, even now in these weeks, with people whose lives are beginning to crumble for one reason and one reason alone: their unwillingness to trust God and believe what God says is true. Now, I want to tell you something about obedience. This is very important. Obedience is not just with your life, but it's with your mind as well. What you believe about you is very important. You need to obey with your thought life. You need to obey what God says about you. God says you're wonderful. You're righteous. God says He loves you. So quit doubting yourself. Quit saying, I am unworthy, I am unworthy, I want to die. Because every time you say that, you prove that you are not trusting God with your mind. We walk a walk of faith. I don't care if you don't feel lovable. I don't care if you feel unworthy today. A person who trusts God says, I am worthy because God made me worthy. You see the difference? That's empowering. That will make you strong. That will make you courageous. That will make you stable. Otherwise, I'll tell you what. I know a number of people in the coming years, they're going to have a nervous breakdown. They're not going to make it. Life is going to crush them. Romans 15, 13. Trusting God means that I'm joyful and peaceful in spite of depressing circumstances. The Bible tells us that when our hope is in God, we have hope and we're filled with joy. We're filled with joy. You see, that's the beauty and the power of the gospel. What would you do if you were Paul and you'd just been beaten and your back is bloody and someone puts you in a prison cell, locks your hands, locks your feet? What would you do? If it was me, you know, I'd probably be upset with God. You know what Paul did and Silas? About 3 hours after they'd been there, they were singing songs. Now you got to be a lunatic on drugs or you're high on the Holy Spirit, like Ephesians says. You're filled, not drunk with wine, but you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, trusting God means that even though times are bad, your times are still good. It means that you can still experience a level of joy that the world looks on and wonders, what's going on with you? You ever think about the life of Joseph? What it must have been like to be in a prison cell accused of rape for 13 years of his life. And then one day, he meets the guys who put him there. It was his brothers. And they didn't know it was Joseph. And you know what the Bible says? It says Joseph looked at them and he says, you know, you meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. And he embraced and hugged every one of his brothers. Would that be your response if they had thrown you in a pit, sold you as a slave, and you'd spent 13 years of your life in jail because of what they did to you? I'm afraid not. You'd be going through years of therapy. You would have been told by the psychologist that you have every reason to hate. You would have been told that you have every reason for your anger. Not Joseph. You know why? Because he knew what it meant to trust God. Let me close with this. Saw Isaiah 28, 16 and 1 Peter 2, 6. It says, trusting God means we're never hopeless or constantly discouraged. Trusting God is the most vital issue of your life. Next week, I'm going to get into how to develop it. How to develop. This is what it means, all right? If you want to reach out and trust what trusting God is, this is what it means, and a lot more. You can look them up yourself. You can follow us, but I would encourage you to get this tape and go over these verses and burn them on your brain. Because without these things, I'm just being honest, you don't have a prayer. With these things, you can have the most extraordinary life you've ever dreamed. Your life can be more than you ever imagined. But you and I have got to cultivate this trusting God. And believe me, you're going to be in a learning process. You see, when I said these things tonight, I don't want anyone to walk away here mistaken. Some of you are going through very hard things. So you may walk away and think, well, God, I'm not totally joyful, not every single minute of the day. So Mark must be saying I'm not trusting God. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, this is where you will arrive. There is a process of learning that's going to take place in your life. I'm sure David and Leanne wouldn't mind if I shared this, but I'm going to anyway. They're going through a very difficult circumstance right now with their little boy who has cancer. I am not saying that every day you wake up and go, geez, great, my son has cancer. That's not what I'm saying. That is not at all what I'm saying. It hurts the heart. We grieve with those who grieve. It's difficult. It's challenging. And it works over your relationship with God. And you go to God, as they have, I'm sure, as I would, and say, why, God? I don't understand this. But as well as that, I know them and I've interacted with them, and there's a settled confidence in their heart that also says, God loves me, and God loves my son, and God knows what he's doing. And I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to trust him. And I'm not saying that every day isn't a fight for your life. And that sometimes every minute of your life may not seem like it's a fight for your life, but believe me, it's worth the fight. It's far better to fight than to give in. Once you give in, sometimes you never get back. And it's devastating. So I want to encourage you this week. Go over these things. Go over these things. Realign your life. Reprioritize your life. Some of you may fit in the category of the person who's a talker. You've talked about trusting God. Oh, you're just a great talker. But where's the reality of it? Where's the reality when you analyze each of these things in your life? Are they consistent habits? I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are. But are they a consistent goal in your mind? Is the consistent habitual way that you try to live? If not, you've got to trust God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight that you're real, that you're alive, that you're involved in our lives. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you're trustworthy. I ask myself, Lord, where would Noah have been if he had not trusted God? Because Noah trusted God, he allowed others to laugh at him. He allowed others to make fun of him. And every day, for 100 years or more, he went out and worked on a boat in his backyard, and there was no water. He trusted God. And because he trusted God, that determined the actions of his life, and he saved his family. I think of David, Lord, who trusted you. And because he trusted you, this boy, this 17-year-old boy, took on a 9-foot giant. The reality of his faith was obvious. Oh God, I pray the reality of our faith would be obvious. Lord, I pray that we be men and women who trust God. You're the best ally the heart could ever want. You're totally reliable, totally dependable. You're the person who's more for us than anyone in all the universe, and you have the power to do whatever it is we need. Help us, Lord. Help us this week. Help us this day, this evening, to begin our journey of trusting God. In Jesus' name, amen.